Hello, fellow movie fans. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as I talk with Nishtha Mehra about the movie that changed her life, The Namesake. It's a tearjerker, but don't worry, we're going to be here for you every step of the way. There are some movies that teach us something new every time we watch them, and The Namesake is that movie for me. The first time I saw it, I was blown away by the raw tenderness of the movie, the way that this story of an immigrant family from India is told with such beauty and grace. And at the time when I saw it, I was in my early 20s, and so I was particularly drawn to the character of the teenager, of Gogol, played by Cal Penn, because it most closely mirrored my own experience as a young person, judging every part of my parents' experience in this new country. But now when I watch it, I look with such compassion at the parents at the center of this story and see that this story is actually about them.
You know, he's willing to go on vacation with someone else's parents, but not to see his own.
Oh, forget it, this is America. As soon as the kids turn 16, they're gone.
I lost the company of my parents when I first came to this country. Now I feel I'm losing my family all over again.
The Namesake tells the story of Ashok and Ashima, this couple from India who are married in an arranged marriage, and they move to New York to start a new life together. They raise two children in the U.S., and they give their firstborn the nickname Gogol, after the Russian writer that Ashok loves. And Ashok and Ashima have to make sense of how to relate to their children in this new world.
Gogol, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I want you to come home next Saturday. Then you can come with us to the airport the next day.
Baba is going to teach in
Ohio for 6 months. You remember or not?
Yeah, I remember, Mom, but what's the big deal? He's only going to Cleveland.
Sonia's not coming home.
Sonia lives in California, Gogol.
Mom, I can't come home that weekend.
I'm going on a vacation with my girlfriend. Her parents have a place in Oyster Bay.
Mom.
As Gogol gets older, his relationship with his parents begins to change, though. He starts to see things differently, just as we all do with age. And he starts to understand that there's so much he doesn't know about their lives, their inner lives, and the reasons why they are who they are. And that becomes especially apparent in his relationship with his father, with Ashok, played by the wonderful actor Irfan Khan. And Ashok ends up being the hero of this movie in so many ways. He's also the person that Gogol doesn't really understand until after Ashok has died.
Listen to me. You know, I know that I'm supposed to be devastated. Everybody's gone, but I know this is going to sound crazy, but for the first time in my life, I actually feel free. Look what I found. It's Baba's graduation gift from high school. See?
For Gogol Ganguly, the man who gave you his name from the man who gave you your name.
There are no accidents, Gogol. Baba made you find it. He's with us.
The Namesake is a movie that's kind of divided into two parts, what comes before Ashok's death and what comes after Ashok's death. And his death really changes his family forever. And that's something that the writer Nishtha Mehra could really relate to. She lost her father only a few months before this movie was released, and the experience of watching it in the theater was both profound and cathartic. And she realized that there were so many things that she'd never really seen about her parents that this movie was mirroring to her. So I'd love to take you back in time for a minute and, you know, ask you where you are to close your eyes and for 10 seconds, just be in silence and think about the first time that you saw the movie that we're going to talk about today, which is The Namesake. Think about how old you were, where you were, how it made you feel, all of the memories attached to that, and I'll chime in when the 10 seconds are up. So what memories came up for you?
I remember very distinctly what theater it was and just the space of the room. And it's a theater that no longer exists in Houston. And so there's kind of that nostalgia piece tied to it as well. And it was, I think, the only theater that was showing The Namesake at that time. And I was with the woman who's now my wife. And I think the music started, right? And music is such a big part of the film, right?
Yeah.
Just that kind of constant in the background. And I just burst into tears.
Wow, just the music.
Just the music. I think for it to be in an American theater, right? This wasn't a theater that showed Hindi movies, right? And there were other people there, right, who weren't who didn't necessarily look like me. There were white people in there. And my partner, Jill, is white. And, right, we were going to see this mainstream movie. And that music was something I had never heard in connection, right? It was like this merging of worlds, I think. And I started crying. And I don't think I really stopped for most of the film because everything, each part of the film and each part of the dynamic and the plot as it unfolded just felt very familiar to me. And it was like watching my own experience projected on this big screen with this beautiful cinematography and just treated so lovingly with so much care and attention to detail that it was so moving. And it was that way, too, even just rewatching it now, however many years later. Still of such a powerful experience.
Gogol, Baba, come and sit next to your Miramashi. Why are your eyes so red? Someone's envy has definitely gone.
I'm fine.
Ashima, longkan, chilies.
Oh, Miramashi, I promise you there are no evil eyes in the United States of America.
That is what you think. You be careful where you're going. What is the name?
Yale.
There will be plenty of girls in this Yale place who will want to trap you. Have as much fun as you want. But
marry a Bengali.
Yeah, because when I was thinking about the timing of this movie when it was released, it was really so closely after your father died. And, you know, this movie, one of the central pieces of the movie is this death of the father that we watch happen in the character of Ashok. And I can't imagine watching this movie and grieving at the same time.
I think it's a sort of a running joke among folks who lose parents, especially those of us who lose parents sort of early, to like avoid Disney movies as a rule, right? Because you know a parent is going to die.
So true. And like, early on, in like the first 15 minutes, they're going to kill
the
character.
Right, and like, you know, just like watching Frozen, it's like, don't get on that boat. Like, why are you getting on the boat? Don't get on the boat. And so there's that experience on the one hand. And then with this film, I had read the book. I'm a huge Jhumpa Lahiri fan. And so I knew what was going to happen, right? Like, I knew going in. But it's still so different, right? I had read the book before my father died.
Yeah.
And so then, like you said, to watch this film, I think it had been just over a year since losing my father was, right, it felt like the movie had been made for me, as much as there were differences, obviously, between me and the protagonists and the circumstances and, like, my family's not Bengali. But, like, it didn't, none of that mattered because the essence of the emotional experience was and remains so real.
Well, and that's one of the beautiful things that I don't quite understand logically, but I understand, like, in my body emotionally, is that, like, the more specific you are to your own experience, the more universal it becomes. Because this, their family is not my family. My family is also an immigrant family, but it's from South America. It's a very different experience. And yet there are so many things that when I watch this movie, I relate to, and I just think that's my experience too. And, you know, there was something that you wrote about in your book, Brown, White, and Black. You talked actually about the first time you saw Bendit Like Beckham. And I'm just going to read what you wrote because it was so beautiful. You say, the experience was so moving that I cried. I saw how I missed out on so much of the rich inner lives of my parents and my friends' parents because I saw them the same way the white broader culture did, discounting them because of their accents and otherness. How shameful that I had never considered my own story to be movie-worthy. To discover as an adult that the uncles I thought were goofy and uncool performed complicated brain surgeries and lectured internationally. Or to realize that I'd underestimated my gossipy, talkative aunties, only to learn about the multiple degrees held because American universities wouldn't accept their foreign master's degrees when they'd immigrated, and the 3 or 4 or 5 languages they spoke. And then this is the sentence that just, like, stopped me in my tracks. I'm so grateful to you for writing it. It's a raw deal to internalize the stereotypes of the very culture that never embraced you fully.
Yeah, I think I'm still grappling with that.
Watching this movie this time, The Namesake, you know, it's a movie that when I first saw it in my 20s, I so related to Cal Penn's character, to Gogol, and I was all about, like, you know, the first half of the movie is his experience as a teenager and as a young adult in his 20s, and where he has this viewpoint that you write about here, of his parents, of his community, right? It's kind of embarrassment and a real desire to want to assimilate into white culture and kind of, you know, he changes his name from Gogol to Nikhail, to Nick.
Right.
And he dates the epitome of white privilege in his girlfriend Max and their relationship. And it wasn't until I watched it this week that I really understood what you're writing about here, which is the beauty and the honesty that these parents are bringing to their lives and their experience that I just never had the expansive mind to appreciate.
I'm glad to know that that piece rang true for you. Like you said, I think for any first generation, second generation kids, or those of us who have that tie to immigrant parents, there is so much commonality, I think, in the experience. And then I think the specificity, right, creates authenticity. So we recognize it as real, right? Like that this is a real community that has really built something out of very little, right? And is figuring out what it means to be Indian American in the 80s and 90s. And it's a territory that lots of us mined when we sort of felt like we were doing it alone. And I think that is part of what is so powerful, even when, like you said, the specifics are very different. Just to have that connection of, like, you get what that work was like and you get how you can hold these sort of two sets of feelings that seem really contradictory and to understand, right, how conflicted you can be about your own sort of sense of identity and where you belong. And that's so reassuring for me.
You know, I envy this place. My parents never felt the need to be so far away from things.
Where did you guys go?
On the road, in rented vans, we would travel with Bengali families to see other Bengali families, inevitably getting lost along the way, dads mulling over AAA maps on the side of the road. And when it was time to eat, we would pull over again at some rest stop and pull out a 9-course Indian meal from a bunch of tiffins when all I really wanted was McDonald's to begin with. It was kind of fun, though, you know, if you didn't know anything else.
There's something that hit me in a way that I just hadn't hit me before. I've seen this movie probably like 10 times, and yet every time I watch it, I really see something new. The dedication at the end that Meera Nair has for our parents who gave us everything.
Yes.
Watching the movie this time around and seeing the journey we begin in India with Ashima and Ashok and where we end up going through with them, this movie is actually about them. It's not actually about Gogol. And it sounds so obvious to say that, but I never really understood that until watching it for the 10th time, that this is really all about leaving their home, leaving everything they knew and starting over in America. And it could very well be the kind of standard story of the American dream. I read the Roger Ebert review for The Namesake, and I was actually really disappointed in the fact that he didn't get that this movie is about more than just the American dream, the immigrant American dream, because it's not about that at all. But, you know, we see their love story unfold, and we see these tiny moments that make up a life, right, in their life together before they have kids, and then once they have kids and as they grow older.
So much of what you just said was resonant for me and powerful for me. You know, one, just this storyline of these two people who right? This is not a typical romance, quote unquote, right? That we would see in an American film.
And, a woman who falls in love with a man because she liked his shoes.
Right. And
she chooses him because of that.
Yeah. And they end up, you know, sort of strangers together, you know, moving across the world.
They were in an arranged marriage, we should say.
Yes. Yeah. Figuring each other out, figuring out what it means to be together and sort of falling in love with each other after they've already been married, which is very much sort of the experience that my parents had. Mm-hmm. Their marriage was also arranged. And my dad had not yet been abroad, but knew that he wanted to and was very clear. That was sort of, again, one of the questions that sort of came up. Would my mom be willing to go? And she was. And my mom always jokes that they got married, had sex, and then fell in love. And she was always like, please do it in some other order than that. you know, I think that it's so easy when people are your parents, right, to not see them with a wide lens, right? You see them up so close. And so I'm so grateful to this film to see, like you said, just this arc of this romance and, you know, very different, again, than what we would sort of typically think of as romantic. And, you know, at one point, Gogol even says, right, to his girlfriend, Max, like, I've never even seen my parents really touch. And my parents were different than that. My dad was actually pretty affectionate, but the romance in the film, I think, comes through, right? That there are different ways for this to look, you know? And it's no less beautiful and it's no less real, this bond between the two of them. And that's part of what makes Ashok's death so devastating, is because you see how clearly these two people have really grown up together and built their lives around each other and together.
There is something I always wanted to ask you, but never had the courage. All those years ago, why did you say yes to me?
You were the best of the lot.
Huh?
Better than the widow with four children and the cartoonist with one arm.
I also liked your shoes.
Okay.
You want me to say,
I love you, like the Americans?
If you're enjoying my conversation with Nishtha Mehra, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps people discover This Movie Changed Me. And we also just love hearing what you think. As always, thank you for helping us build our movie-loving empire. Let's talk a little bit about Ashok, who is just, oh my God, first of all, played by Irfan Khan, who's this amazing actor. And I don't think I've ever seen a face that has as much like kindness and thoughtfulness in it as he does in this movie. Like
he's perfect in the role, right?
He embodies him so well. You know, the thing about Ashok is he spends this whole movie kind of having this really deep inner life that he doesn't reveal to his son. And he struggles to, right? Like some of the most heartbreaking scenes in the movie are when he's trying to tell Gogol about the origin of his name. Like we see him give him a graduation gift and we see him try to begin to tell him and then he stops because I think he senses that Gogol isn't ready for it yet. And it's heartbreaking to watch because, you know, once you've seen this movie one time, you know what's going to happen. And I just love to hear you talk a little bit about that relationship, the relationship between Ashok and Gogol.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that was really distinct for me in watching the film again recently was just how much is lost in this journey, right, that immigrants make. Mm. And I think so often we focus on what's gained.
Yeah.
And I know that my parents did that, right, that was sort of the narrative that they established for me, right? Like, we did this for you. We did this to create this kind of life. We did this so that you would have these opportunities. And my parents do, in very many ways, embody that quote-unquote American dream.
Yeah, but that's not the full story.
It's not the full story. And I think you know, as parents, right, they, I don't know if shielded is the right word, but I certainly don't, they certainly never really revealed the extent to which there was loss and there were things that were missing and there were things that they gave up. And it hit me so powerfully watching the film this time on so many levels. And for me, that is a huge piece of just noticing and seeing how much I missed, right? How much I wasn't paying attention to that rich inner life of my parents, which I know is an inevitable sort of experience when you're certainly a teenager, right? And he's got Pearl Jam playing in the background and he doesn't turn it down, you know, and I'm just like, stop being such a jerk. But only because, like, I totally recognize that behavior.
Same.
And, oh, God, I'm glad it's not just me.
This was just, like, the biggest shaming where I was like, oh, God.
Thank you again. You know, I feel a special kinship with Gogol more than with any other writer. Do you know why?
Yes. Gogol's your favorite author, I know, Baba.
He spent most of his adult life outside his homeland, like me.
Right.
But there is another reason.
Hello?
Hmm?
What's other reason?
No other reason. Okay, good night.
Good night, Baba.
We all came out of Gogol's overcoat. One day you will understand.
And that is part of, I think, what is particularly, and I don't use the word tragic sort of in a distinct way, not in sort of the kind of casual way we maybe use it in conversation, but what feels tragic about losing a parent so young is that, you know, you still kind of have your head up your butt, right? Like,
yeah,
you haven't really gotten to be an adult with them being an adult, like being two adults in the room together. And that's such a distinct experience. And it takes time, right, to sort of figure out what that dynamic looks like. And I think that my dad and I had started to do some of that. And it was actually when we were in India. We took a trip just a few months before he died. He died very suddenly and unexpectedly. So the trip and his death were unrelated. It just worked out that way. But so that trip to India is about 1,000 times more powerful in my memory of it. And the conversations that we were able to have and, you know, him taking me to his hometown and showing me where he went to school and seeing him in his element, you know. And I think there's, to a certain extent, it's very hard to understand someone fully until you really sort of see them in their maybe earliest environment, or, you know, sometimes you meet someone's parents and you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay, that explains so many things,
yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yes. The same is true for our parents. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, he was a kid, you know, and it's, again, so obvious and you feel so kind of goofy realizing those things and thinking, why didn't I think about this before? But I think that's also true, at least for me, of the very comfortable and good life that my parents created for me. Is that I didn't have to think about that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what they were proud of. They were proud that they had made a life for me that was so much easier than theirs had been. Mm. And that's that irony, right? Of then I think I had some blind spots because of that.
Yeah. I love that you brought up loss, because one of the scenes that really stood out for me this time watching it was the scene where Ashok receives a phone call in the middle of the night and, you know, Ashima sleeping next to him. And it's the news that her father has died. And, you know, they're in different countries, right? And he has to give his wife this news. And it never hit me, the idea that when you have to grieve and lose someone and they're in a whole other country, and the level of loss that creates because you can't be there with them.
And so knowing that she hasn't seen him for this period of time.
Yeah.
And that she doesn't go back until after he's already gone.
Mm. And the noise that she makes when she finds out. Oh my goodness. I just burst into tears.
So primal. I know. And I one of my very first memories, again, it feels like this movie was made for me, because one of my earliest memories, I was about 4, I think, and there was a phone call, and my father's father had died. Mm. And it was the first time that I had seen my dad just break down. Mm. And it was such a powerful experience for me. I think that's why I remember it, right? Because it was so kind of upsetting. And my mom actually shared that, I started to wet the bed. It was just, so disruptive for me as a 4-year-old, because that vision of my dad was so contradictory to how I'd always seen him. And now, as someone who has lost a parent, right, I can look back at that with so much compassion for him, that, like you said, he was so far away from his family. He'd made this set of choices very much designed to support and help his family. He did that classic immigrant thing of sending money home and, handling things on behalf of his sisters and taking care of what he could. But again, with that loss, right, that it means that he wasn't there with his dad when his dad died. Hmm. I got to be in the room with my dad when he died. Yeah. But my dad didn't get to do that for his dad.
Yeah. And the character of Gogol doesn't get to do that in the namesake.
No.
You know, one of the things that's so heartbreaking is we see Ashok go to a teaching position in another state for 6 months, and he ends up suddenly dying there. And none of the family is able to say goodbye properly.
That scene where Gogol comes to the apartment, right? He's come to identify the body, to sort of perform this, oldest child, representative of the family role.
And he tries on his shoes.
And he tries on the shoes. And then he gets in the bed, right?
Yeah.
And sort of sees his father living in this really sort of lonely and aseptic place, which I think compounds the grief, right? And that sense of sadness. But that feeling of sort of stepping into that role and literally stepping into his father's shoes, right? Even though as a female, right, there were parallels that aren't quite the same. I did not shave my head, for example. Mm. I grew my hair out as a way of honoring my father. But that sense of now I have to be a different kind of way is, I think, again, for those of us who have experienced that kind of loss at a relatively young age, right, you sort of know what that feels like.
Mm.
And I remember distinctly looking into the faces of my aunties and uncles, who were, of course, of tremendous support in the wake of my dad's death, just like it happens in the film. I could see them looking at me differently. And that's how I knew that, right, the role had shifted and I was somehow more of an adult, right, than I had been before.
I have so many regrets, Max.
You're bound to. Listen. Why don't we still go away for New Year's, like we planned? It might do you good to get away from all this.
I don't want to get away.
What do you want from me, Nick? I'm trying to be here for you, but it's like I don't even know you anymore.
Max, this is not about you.
You know, one of the things I love about The Namesake is that every time I've seen it, it's given me something new, and I learned something new about myself and the world. And watching it this time with you in mind, I kept wondering how this movie has informed you as a parent, because you're now a parent yourself.
I am.
Yeah, I'm just so curious to know, when you watch this movie now, how you see it differently as a parent.
That's a great question. Right, because that experience is another one that is going to change you. You know,
yeah.
It's just, you don't know how necessarily, but you know you're going to be different and there's no sort of going back, right? And yeah, as a parent, I have an almost 7-year-old. She would want me to say almost 7 instead of 6 because it sounds way cooler. An almost 7-year-old named Shiv. And I think one of the things I've been really conscious of, and sort of amazed by, honestly, is it's been important to me to show as much of my sort of full self as is appropriate to my child, because I'm so aware of, I think, a lot of the things I missed about my parents in their attempts to sort of shield me from things. So, you know, Shiv has seen me many times be very sad when I'm thinking about my dad or on his birthday or on Father's Day or things like that. And she's aware of what that is, right? She has a sense of what that means to miss, as she would call him, Nanaji, which is mother's father. And I am amazed by how, for an almost 7-year-old, she has such an intuitive way of responding to and empathizing with that. You know, for her, as someone who was adopted at birth, right, there's a sense of loss there as well, right, of her birth mother in particular. And the way that she can navigate sort of empathizing with me and not being so scared of me being sad. It's part of our life experience together, right? That sometimes mom is sad about this, and sometimes I'm sad about this, and then sometimes we are dancing around to Beyonce, you know? And, like, all of it is a part of a fully lived life. And that's really important to me, for her not to be afraid of what she feels or of what other people feel, and to make room for it. And I think that's something that I really try to hold on to. And in watching the film again, was reminded of, you know, the importance of trying to let her see me as a human who has got a whole range of feelings and is flawed, and also who has a history sort of before her as well as with her.
Nishtha Mehr is a parent, partner, teacher, and writer. Her books include The Pomegranate King and Brown, White, Black, An American Family at the Intersection of Race, Gender, Sexuality, and Religion. She also serves on the board of Just City, a nonprofit working to build a more humane justice system in Memphis, Tennessee. On December 8th of this year, Nishtha's parents would have celebrated their 52nd anniversary. We thank them for bringing Nishtha to this world. Fox Searchlight, Mirabai Films, Cine Mosaic, Entertainment Farm, and UTV Motion Pictures produced The Namesake, and the clips you heard in this episode are credited entirely to them. Fox Music and Rounder Records released its soundtrack, and Nitin Sahni scored the movie. Next week, we have a This Movie Changed Me double feature to cap off our second season. Entrepreneur and wise man Seth Godin will speak about his love for The Wizard of Oz, and in a separate conversation, I'll talk about The Wiz with the Obama Foundation's chief engagement officer, Michael Strautmanis. The movie is a modern retelling of The Wizard of Oz, starring Lena Horne, Richard Pryor, and the one and only Diana Ross. The team behind This Movie Changed Me is
Maya Tarrell,
Chris Hegel,
Tony Liu,
Kristen Lin,
Marie Sambalay,
and Lillian Vo.
This podcast is produced by On Being Studios, which is located on Dakota land. We also produce other podcasts you might enjoy, like On Being with Krista Tippett and Becoming Wise. Find those wherever you like to listen, or visit us at onbeing.org to find out more. I'm Lily Percy. Being a teenager is complicated, but so is being a parent. So let's all just try and remember that.
This podcast is produced by On Being Studios in Minneapolis, Minnesota.